because I have such a small, weak voice that nobody can hear me anyway. It needs to be amplified greatly. The title of the sermon this morning, which is not published in the bulletin, not because of Daniel, but because of my procrastination, I take the blame for that. The title of it is Be Still, and it comes from Psalm 46. Before I read the scripture, I'll just share a little story with you from this weekend. And no, Renee, you don't have to worry. It's not anything that you did. I'm not talking about her. Most of you know we went down to Durham for a few days while Bob was having his surgery, and we were able to stay with Kelly in her apartment and got to see Carrie for her birthday as we came back through Greensboro. Yesterday morning, as we were getting ready to leave, we were in the bathroom. Renee was drying her hair, and I had got my electric razor and was beginning to shave, and I was just shaving away, and Renee's beside me with the hair dryer blowing, and you know, it's quite a racket there. And I keep rubbing my face with my electric razor, and I just keep rubbing, and I feel like, man, this is not cutting anything. My beard has really got tough overnight. And I just keep going, I'm thinking, what's going on here? And Renee's blowing, you know, hair dryers going right beside me. I finally stop and I look at my razor and the light's not on. It wasn't on. Well, it wasn't my stupidity that I hadn't turned it on. It was my stupidity that I'd let the battery run dead on it. And so the charge was out and it had started shaving, but with all the noise there and everything, I couldn't hear the razor running. It had just lost its charge and wasn't cutting any whiskers anymore. Sometimes there's just too much noise, too much going on, to recognize that our power source is kind of falling by the wayside and we don't have any juice to run on any longer. We're still going through the motions. I mean, I was rubbing as hard as possibly could be. I was doing the right things, but there just wasn't any power in what I was doing. The juice was gone. Now, that does speak to us, doesn't it? It's so easy for things to get in the way of us recharging our batteries, of connecting with the source of power. Our job can do it, can't it? It can become so all-consuming. We can go through the right motions. We can still go to church, and we can still pick up the Bible and look over the Bible. We can still attend Sunday school and those kind of things. But sometimes it's just like I was doing with my razor. I was just going through the motions. There just wasn't any juice. There wasn't any connection. Family can do it to you as well. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean the demands of family, of children and aging parents and aunts and uncles and cousins and the demands of family. It can drain you sometimes, and it can become so all-consuming, you can become so focused on it that you just lose sight of the connection with the source that gives us the ability to do those things. Friends can do it. The needs and the wants that we all have can drain us. We can have so much racket going on in our lives, so much of a distraction, it can become so much of a distraction that we just forget about the source of life. Psalms 46 gives us a reminder of what is of ultimate importance and just who that is that's in control. Join with me as we read that passage. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots in the fire. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The God of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Be still and know that I am God. Eugene Peterson, in his translation or his paraphrase of the Bible, The Message, he says in that "be still," he translates that as "step out of the traffic." Step out of the traffic. In Hebrew, the word that's translated for "be still" is actually literally, its meaning is to cause to fall, to let go. You see, being still, folks, is a conscious, deliberate decision. It's a leap of faith. That letting go, that causing to fall, it's causing ourselves to fall. When we say "be still," when God says to be still, He says, make yourself fall, let go, right into my arms, right into my care. It's a leap of faith. It's putting trust in God. You know, this week, as I've picked up the Bible off and on and read a passage of Scripture here or there, and I'll be the first to admit that I probably haven't read near as much of the Scripture this week and studied near as much as I should have. I'm human, and I get into that category every now and then, more often than not, if the truth be known. But every passage that I picked up, every time I picked up the Scriptures this week and looked, I think that I read something somewhere in the New Testament that was dealing with Jesus withdrawing from the crowds for one reason or another. Sometimes it was for different reasons. And as I got to thinking about that, I thought, well, I'll just go through Matthew and count the instances in which Jesus withdrew from the crowds, either to be by himself or privately with his disciples or one or two of his disciples. And I counted at least 10 or 11 times that you can see for sure that he intentionally did it for those reasons, and probably a dozen more times that it says he left or he withdrew or he departed. He left where he was at for one reason or another. And I got to thinking, you know, if Jesus needs to withdraw, if he needs to be alone sometimes, if he needs to center himself, you know, I got to ask the question, why did he withdraw? Why did he need that private, personal time? And then I apply that to our own lives, my life. We can apply it to each of our lives. Why do we need that same kind of time? There are four reasons that I want to share with you this morning for being still. You can probably come up with a lot more than four, but four that I want to look at this morning. First of all, the first one that really just caught my eye about Jesus as I skimmed through the Gospel of Matthew looking for those instances was his being driven by the Spirit out into the wilderness right after his baptism. He went out into the wilderness at the high point of his life thus far. He chose to go out and be alone. Now, why is that? Why at this point here, you would think with the presence of the Holy Spirit upon him, you know, he was in a crowd of people there, the Holy Spirit visibly descended upon him, and the voice from heaven was heard, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." You would think that he could have had the world right then and there, that he was on top of the world at that point, that he was as close to God as he possibly could be. People had heard and witnessed what was going on there. Yet, at the emotional and spiritual high point of his life at that point, he chose to withdraw, or at God's direction, he chose to obey God and withdraw. What that says to me, folks, is that sometimes we need centering, we need private time, we need to connect with God in those times when we feel like everything is going great and wonderful in our lives. Because it's at those times that we end up opening ourselves up to things that can come in and take God's place, because we feel like we are on top of the world. Jesus was on top of the world at that moment. He chose to obey God and go out and get himself focused and centered upon what God was calling him to do. Folks, we can't depend upon emotional highs, spiritual highs, to sustain us through our lives. We have to have ourselves centered in Christ and know that He is there even through the difficult times. If we're just going to be totally emotional about this, and there's nothing wrong with being emotional about what Christ has done for us. He died for us, folks. That's something to be emotional about. That's something that should move you to tears when you think about it. But that we can't stay there all the time. We need to focus ourselves upon Jesus and how He is leading and where He's leading us. The emotional high, the spiritual high is a great place to be. But don't be deceived by it, and don't be let down so when you do hit a lower point. And you can still know, if you're centered right, you can still know that God is in control, that He is the focus of our lives. Even when we have emotional and spiritual highs, we need to know, we need to remove ourselves, spend time with God, take that opportunity. Another reason that we need to be still is because of the physical strains of ministry. Jesus was a human being. We talked about this just a little last week. Jesus was a human being, just as human as you and I. He had the same needs to eat, to drink. He had the same needs for sleep, for rest. All of those things that we experience on a daily basis, Jesus also experienced them. And working hard, the workaholic that He was, in ministry, He didn't refuse people. Last week when he was trying to get away from the multitudes when they followed Him around the lake, and He fed the 5,000, and then He healed and performed miracles and all. It was an exhausting adventure that He was undertaking, an exhausting venture He was undertaking. Physically, His body, His capabilities were stretched to the limit. It was a strain physically on Him, His ministry was, because of His humanity. Folks, for us, we're human. And we're a lot less than Jesus was, for sure. And so if Jesus can be strained, and if Jesus needs to pull Himself apart to rest, to recuperate, so that He can carry out the ministry to its most effective, don't you think that you and I should need to do that as well? That we need not burn ourselves out. And now, for most folks in the church these days, the problem is not burning out from church work. It's just burning out in general from life and all those other things that I talked about earlier. We need to pull back, take some time, some rest, rejuvenate ourselves, allow our physical bodies to be completely refreshed, to be completely whole, so that we can do God's work as best we can. The constant crowds must have been something that just drained Jesus. I can't imagine it. I can get a little glimpse of it every now and then, as you all can, when people are calling you constantly and demanding things or asking things or wanting things. Just imagine that on the small scale that we all have experienced that. And imagine Jesus in the very life and death of so many people, their souls so much in His hands and in His ministry to them, being the matter of life and death for them. It must have been terribly stressful and straining. Folks, Jesus needs to step away. We need to rest so that we can carry out His work. The third reason that we need to be still, that we can see in Jesus and in His ministry, is that He needed to be still and separated and commune with God because of the fame or the infamy that His ministry brought Him. Now, there were times when they were ready to make Jesus king. They were telling Him what a great person He was and how wonderful He was and all the things true that they were. And then there were those who were ready to cut His throat if they had the chance, seeking at every turn to find a way in which they could trap Him. But what He was doing brought Him great notoriety. It put Him in the center of attention. Folks, when we get in the center of attention, for us, for me, and for most of us as human beings, it's not because of the infamous things that we've done. It's not because of necessarily the bad things. It's because of the good things. We've been a good person. We've been a good friend. We've been a good neighbor, and people pat us on the back and slap us on the shoulders and tell us what a great person we are. Folks, when that starts happening, we open ourselves up for trouble because we get to think too much of ourselves and get too high opinion of ourselves. That's a key time that we need to pull back, and we need to focus once again upon Christ and what He's calling us to do. And know and remember and be reconfirmed in our hearts and minds that we are not the center of the universe, that we are not the purpose, but that Jesus is. We need to remember that. The fourth reason that we need to be still, and probably the most common and the most important reason for us today, for Jesus as well, It's to prepare. Folks, we cannot go into battle ill-prepared. We cannot teach a Sunday school class ill-prepared. We cannot preach to a congregation ill-prepared. You can't lead the choir ill-prepared. There must be preparation. Not just the sitting down and the physical part of it that we do for our jobs to be ready for Monday morning so that we have everything lined up and ready to go for those who work with us or under us or above us. But we have to be prepared in our hearts and in our minds in the spiritual sense. Jesus, when he was about to go to the cross, what was the last thing he did before he was arrested? He went to the garden and he prayed. The only way he could be prepared for what was coming up to him was that he be in communion with the Father, that he be prepared. He could not do it any other way. Folks, we cannot deal with what the world is throwing at us today unless we are prepared. And the only way we can do that is spend time with Jesus. Come to him. Get closer to him. Read your Bible. Study the Scripture. Talk with fellow Christians and share with one another the joys and the sorrows that you've experienced and give encouragement to each other. We have to be prepared to deal with what the world is going to throw at us. But all those reasons are good reasons. But it's often so true that the world is just so noisy. There's so much going on that we just can't hear. Is your world noisy today? Are there all sorts of things going through your mind, preparations that need to be made, things you need to do, places you have to go? So many things going through your mind that you can't even think about Jesus, really, and focus upon Him. You know, when I was trying to shave yesterday morning and couldn't, once I realized what was wrong, that I didn't have any juice, and I plugged that thing into the wall with my charger cord, and it fired right up. Even though the noise was still going beside me, I couldn't hear it running, but I knew it was doing its job because I was plugged into the source. Sometimes, folks, we just need to be still. We need to hear what God is saying. We need to turn loose and just fall into His arms. This morning, be still. Let go. And fall into the wonderful, mighty arms of God. Let's pray. Father, in the stillness and the quiet of this moment, I pray, Lord, that we each, in our hearts, where we are, that we can turn loose of those things that are holding us back. That we can be that still that you were talking about there, Lord, in that psalm. And that we can let go and just allow you to cradle us and hold us up. Because, Lord, our only strength is your strength. Our strength is feeble at best. Lord, may we all allow your strength to encompass our lives and to build our ministry that we may honor you. Lord, may we just be still. Amen.